Welcome to Justifying the F Word. Megan is back in pocket. Once again, a big Big special thanks to Keith Mon for sitting in while you were gone.
Mon job.
Gallivanting.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone better to sit in.
Well, as always, justifying the F word, meaning living your best life within your 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And Megan, you live some serious life.
I'm just going to say, I think I lived the life of a early 20-year-old in this last little bit.
The real question is, how are you recovering?
I feel like I'm coming back. Yeah. Like slowly but surely. I've definitely felt my age a little bit.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. Well, I held down the fort.
He did. Kind of. Yeah. I mean, most of it.
Most of it.
The very end was your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that wasn't because he couldn't handle it. We're going to go into
it. We just had stuff done. I, kind of a fun deal. I just finished up a guitar lesson with our youngest.
Yeah. He came up, told me all about it, about Eddie something, something.
Eddie ate dynamite. Goodbye, Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, sure. Cool. No,
we were learning the strings. I just want to make this very clear. In no way, shape, or form does this mean I'm advertising.
Yeah, you have to be blood at this point.
I am not teaching anymore.
Yeah, like it is one of those.
Okay,
like,
let's go back.
Well, I taught for years. Yeah, Quinn taught for years. When COVID happened, he loved his students, but he was like, I think it was one of those. You were like, I just need to have a second. And I think too, it got to a point where you're like, I hate to play guitar.
Yeah, I just didn't want to pick it up anymore.
Yeah, but I will say our life as in, I think it is just what it is when you're in the F word years, is your life's so crazy. Quinn and I had a planning meeting, and we're going to go kind of backtrack about our last 2 weeks, but we really have not like barely seen each other, or if we have, it's like we're in this just like,
it's been like 20 minutes in between.
It's just crazy. So Quinn and I had this like sit down, let's map out. We're looking even at spring. And it was funny because the kids walked upstairs and were like, it's summer. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, it's basically summer. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just,
if you haven't listened to our episode about having a plan.
Yeah. And so Quinn and I are
go back and listen.
But
to it
I mean, we even were sitting down figuring out Quinn's work trips in April.
Yeah.
Because if it's not on the calendar, it's like we can make it everything work around it. It's like a puzzle, you know, but if we don't have it on there, it's yeah.
And so, we may or may not have booked another trip to Mexico in September.
Yeah, we did.
September's a great time to go.
Yeah. And I think it's just one of those that I know we go on a lot of trips. People always make fun of us, but really, when it boils down, we like to go on trips with our kids. We go on a few a year, and we go on work trips with Quinn. Yes, it's just the two of us going, but we are entertaining the whole time.
And may I say, we're fun.
We are fun.
We are
fun. And it's awesome, but we are with people nonstop. So it is not necessarily a
checkout.
A checkout, press the pause button. Let's focus on marriage insurance.
It's still incredibly delightful. But
it is, but it is definitely, it's not QBMB quality time. And so that's why when people are like, you've already gone on trips, I'm like, but really this is Quinn and I's trip. That is us choosing to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And it's all about us just focusing on the two of us. So that was a really long explanation.
So why don't you tell the story about you abandoning the family?
Yes. So
there I was barefoot and pregnant.
Barefoot, pregnant in the kitchen. No, so.
Which I made a delicious pasta.
I mean, Quinn slayed it. I mean, we're talking like level 10 dinner tonight.
May have been twice baked some twice-baked pasta with some chicken and pepperoni with a mozzarella infusion over the top, maybe some spicy pepper in there.
I know. It was delicious.
All baked in what I like to refer to as the heirloom pans in my, in my cast iron cook. So, by the way, I love to cook.
Quinn loves to cook, and I love this about him. And
It just came to me. I don't even know how this happens. I may have blacked out for a second.
And just so if you're sitting there being like, well, why doesn't my husband do it? I worked all weekend, and it's just one of the long list of things I love about Quinn is he didn't even say, hey, he was just like, I got dinner. I got it. Cause I worked all day. And he was like, I got it. Don't even think about it. I got it handled. So anyway, so
let's go back to the story about you abandoning.
Yes.
Your family.
So our oldest loves music. You know, people be like, what sports is she into? All that. She loves music to like level 10. She just wishes she could play it, but
we're working on that.
Yeah. She loves to consume everything and anything. And there's times I even told Quinn this last week, I'm like, I'll be sitting in the car and I feel like it's this mini girl version of you talking to me about music.
It's hard when you have perfect taste in music.
Yeah.
Babe.
Well,
it's a difficult thing.
Anyway, so music and art is her thing. And Quinn and I, we decided, we're like, you know what? I think there's a lot of times as parents, there's things that we're into and you're going to be like, this was my thing. And, or I really enjoy watching this or whatever. And it's easy to be like the, you know, we're going to do this all the time. And I think that, I think you even said, I need to spend time doing not necessarily what I want to be doing, but what they're into.
Yeah. Follow. And this goes with all of our kids. And this also goes with your spouse. I remember Corey and Amber Holker on when they came on the podcast, they talked about how Amber went to a hockey game, wasn't her thing. Corey, they did dancing lessons together.
Yeah. And so that has been kind of with our kids. But sidebar to that, I love to go to concerts. So So anyway, we started planning my oldest, I think it was in maybe April. We were talking about music and I was like, man, you know, festivals are a whole different level. And she's like, well, tell me about festivals. And so I was telling her, I'm like, usually they're like 2 or 3 days, you know, multiple stages and they have lots of bands playing. It's a whole different vibe. And she's like, well, where do they do these? And I was like, well, one of the largest ones in the United States is in Austin City Limits.
And Texas, that is.
Texas. And so she's like, well, when is it? And I'm like, well, let me look into it. So I start looking and I'm like, wow, tickets are really not that bad. And my brother, Chris, lives in Austin. So I kind of started thinking about it. And so I went to her and I'm like, hey, we can make this happen. You have a job. Would you be willing to pay for your ticket to get in? And she's like, is this possible? And I'm like, yeah, if you work towards it. So we started planning it in April. So this just happened 2 weeks ago, but I flew out, but we found out that.
Well, we talked about this, Keith and I, about you guys. I think the day we recorded it was maybe the day you guys were seeing Jane's Addiction Smashing Pumpkins, and how you guys purely did not appreciate it and you were doing it just to rub it in my face.
So yeah. So we went, my brother came with us.
We gave a good recap.
Yeah. We found out because, you know, kind of later on before I booked the plane ticket, we found out my daughter said, Smashing Pumpkins are one of my bucket list. And so I'm like, huh, wonder if they're touring. I look up and they are playing 2 days before Austin City Limits and with Jane's Addiction, which I can rub in. It's like the one band Quinn hasn't seen that wants to have seen in his life. So there you go.
Yeah, well, good on you. I hope you real big.
Real big,
Megan. I hope you feel real proud of yourself.
Yeah, so the first day we were out there, we saw Jane's Addiction and Smashing Pumpkins. That was, I told Quinn, I was like, if there was any innocence left in my child, Jane's Addiction took that.
Weeded that out of her.
But it was awesome and iconic. And then we got a day of exploring around Austin, which anyone, if we have any listeners out there, Austin is one of my.
We got quite a few folks from Texas.
Yeah, I kept texting Quinn. And I'm like, I want to be a Texan. Like I love Austin. I love the vibe, all of that. And then starting on Friday through Sunday, we festivaled it up. And there is a difference of going to a concert and then there's a festival.
Well, I think our oldest said it best when I think it was,
you said nothing at all.
Yeah, no, I think it was during the Chili Pepper. She said she could have died and she would have stood straight upright till everybody decided to leave.
So, the headliner for Austin City Limits was the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And so just to give you perspective, 70,000 people at, ACL, and we had to work over a course of 6 hours to get as close as we did to the stage.
Well, and I will say, having been to a bunch of the Lollapalooza concerts back in the day, the one big takeaway from the festival is not only do you share the music with everybody, but you also share their sweat.
Yes. Yeah,
you're covered in everybody's else's, like, ugh.
All of your, yeah. But that is the closest I've ever been to a band, that big of a band. Like, I've been to concerts, but I mean, we were so close. We work for it, but it was a little daunting to think, oh my gosh, if I have to get out of here. I was telling Quinn, it was just wall to wall people, like couldn't even put your elbows up, probably three football fields deep of people.
Yeah. And I think Megan, said, I had a serious panic moment thinking, what if I have to pee really bad?
Yeah, that was out. And, but it was very, I text Quinn after and I'm like, so when I was pregnant with our oldest, that was when Stadium Arcadium came out.
By the Chili Peppers.
By the Chili Peppers. And Quinn and I were obsessed. We listened to it nonstop, even to the point their song Danny California, we were going over names, and Danny was a high probable name for our oldest. We didn't, and I'm just sitting there looking, and then also looking, speaking of the F4 Nation, all of the Chili Peppers are moving into their sexy 60s.
Well, you got to talk about how, like, Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah, so I text Quinn when I, like, could move my elbows, and I was like, all of the Chili Pepper members are wearing running shoes. And then Anthony Kiedis had a knee brace on, and they had to take a break. And everyone's like, what are they doing? I'm like, I think they're back there taking oxygen. Like, they're, I mean, they have bandages on their arm.
Yeah,
like,
even Jane's Addiction and Smashing Pumpkins. Those are all F-word bands.
Yeah. And it was the kind of deal that I was telling my oldest. I'm like, they're almost 60. And the fact that you got to see them, I'm like, there's not a lot of years.
Yeah, and they've been a band.
Not that they're going to, like, die,
but speaking of justifying the effort, they've been a band for 40 years. And to put that into perspective, when I first saw The Grateful Dead, The Grateful Dead was a younger band
than the Chili Peppers
at this
time. But I will say, Anthony Kiedis, he is turning 60. Yeah.
In 2 months.
2 months.
So I just listened to Joe Rogan and he was on there.
And I told my daughter, I've seen the Chili Peppers before. And I was like, when you see the Chili Peppers, it's just, you don't see them unless you see Anthony Kiedis with his shirt off. And she was like, what? And I'm like, it's just them, you know? And they came out fully clothed. So I was like, okay, well, they're older. And then when they did their encore, he came out and let's just say he could make a lot of 20-year-old frat boys look bad. Like, that guy owns it.
See, the funny difference between Megan and I.
Oh yeah, I don't notice.
Is Megan looks at men as objects, and I look at women for their intellectual prowess.
Yes.
And their things that they bring. You're the only woman I have ever thought as attractive. Oh, so,
for sure.
Just so you know, my thoughts are pure.
Yeah. So long story short, I could go on forever, but it was such a iconic. Just time to spend with my oldest. Also got to spend some time with my brother. We discovered a lot of new bands and such a cool experience.
And a lot of queso.
A lot of queso. If you...
Not macro-friendly queso.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're from Texas, you'll be like, whatever. But we did a tour of queso, and my favorite queso I had, Torchy's. I'm just saying, I know that that's probably boring for people in Texas, but that was my favorite.
Well, there you go. So we're recapping a lot, but this all has a point.
Yeah.
So the last day before Megan came home, little buddies and I took off for Central Utah and went on the elk hunt. So we had a spike tag, which means that's like a young male. So they can't have a big rack.
Yeah. See, I thought you weren't looking.
No, I'm talking about
elk. I'm just saying, you say.
See, there once again, intellectual prowess.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, a spike rack. So it has to be like, it can't be like a giant set of antlers. So we saw every animal under the sun. We even saw a deer chasing a turkey, and we got into some beautiful wild country. But more so than anything, and we rode horses, we shot guns, we rode four-wheelers, we side by side, just you name it, we did it while we were out there. But the thing is we
did you see Jane's Addiction?
No, we didn't see Jane's Addiction.
Oh, you said you did it. So yeah. I mean, I just wanted to point out that we saw Jane's Addiction. You didn't.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you did. But it was Megan and I have really tried to focus, and our friends that we had on, Trevor and Nicole, we had them on the parenting episode. They really infuse this into us, but having one-on-one time with our kids and trying to split them off from the pack every now and again to do one-on-one things. And it was really good. I never had that with my dad. I didn't grow up a huge hunter. In fact, I just took my hunter safety over COVID, and it's a relatively new thing. We hiked around a lot with guns, but never saw anything to even aim at. But it was just the point of being out there together and having that like bonding time and kind of putting stuff back into check. So it was awesome.
Yeah. And so you don't think, oh, well, they're middle. We have stuff planned. You know, it's just one of those that it just happened to be two of our kids' things were at the same time. Or kind of overlapped, but
for sure.
Yeah. So whirlwind, we came back, and then in Utah, we have what's called fall break. And I don't feel like we didn't have it growing up.
It used to be, here's the deal. It was either based around, we had a day off in the fall in Iowa, and usually in most states, it's either based around the harvest or it's based around the opening of the deer hunt.
Yeah. We didn't have that in Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Opening gambling season. Yeah. But anyway, so we got back and I was home for 2.5 days. I worked a full week of work right in between that. And then the girls and I packed up and we met Quinn down kind of, how would you explain it?
It's above
it's not
Bryce
Central.
Canyon. It's like South Central Utah.
Yeah.
More or less, like above Bryce Canyon or above Cedar Breaks National Monument at our buddy's cabin.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. We'll dive into that.
We're going to come back to that, but yes.
A lot further detail.
And don't think that the last 2 weeks ended. Quinn. No,
I took off as soon as we basically got back and hauled out to Colorado. We're opening up a branch out there. And I got to tell you, every time I go somewhere new, so I was in Louisiana a few weeks ago. I was just in Denver. I just, every time I go somewhere new, I'm like, I could live here.
Yeah.
I really love it.
Well, and I feel like it's kind of our ongoing joke. So Quinn and I feel like we both come from like a gypsy blood. Like, I don't know, that's in there that we feel this need.
I am part Hungarian. So yeah, the odds are
good. I mean, good chance. But Quinn and I could move, and it's not about being like, that we don't like where we live or not being complacent. It's, we can move every 2 to 3 years and love it.
It's the adventure.
Like there's something about moving and it's like, oh, this is a new place. We're going to find like new restaurants and meet new people. And we love it. Yeah. There is part of moving that sucks, but like, that is why Quinn and I, every time, like I was texting Quinn from Texas, I can live here. And it's always an ongoing joke of, I could live here because we're seeing it like, you know, it's new.
It's fresh.
Yeah.
And it's something, and this kind of leads us into our episode. As I talked about, when I'm on the road and I'm at these places, or Megan and I are together, or Megan's out by herself on a trip, there's always that feeling of it's new, it's exciting, I could be there. And then you ask the people, it's like, I was just in Shreveport and I thought Shreveport was absolutely beautiful. And then you ask people, hey, you like Shreveport?
Yeah.
Or it's like we meet people all the time when we travel, like, oh, where are you from? I'm from Texas. We're like, we love Texas. And we tell them where we live. And they're like, yeah, but where you live so beautiful. And we're like,
yeah, yeah. It's definitely because there's different things everywhere you live. Like,
but it's the new, it's the novelty.
Yeah.
So Megan, why don't we dive into the episode? I feel like we've re-kippity-capped.
Yeah. So I want to go, back, and this is going to tie into the episode. So the cabin, the cabin is, and we realized in the last week how, I want to say, iconic.
I would say defining.
Defining, yeah, yeah. The cabin is. So let us explain the cabin. So we have good friends that live in Vegas that are, we've talked about
Pop
them.
Pop and Nicole, great people.
Pop and Nicole, yeah. We've talked about them in the past. They've been almost like mentors in our life and loved them. So when we, before, this is before BC,
before
children.
That would be before children, or BK.
Or beef, if you said kids, yeah. Yeah. So they invited us.
I was about ready to say kids doesn't start with a C, but then you said children, so.
Children.
Look at that. I'm valuing your intellectual prowess.
Thank you. So before we had children, we went up to the cabin with them. We had memories of spending time. We went multiple times and they were so gracious that they said it sits vacant most of the time if you guys ever want to come. So, you know, us being freeloaders that we are, we're like, are you serious? Like, we'll come work, you know, all of this.
You are talking to a guy who lived in a storage unit.
Yeah. So we started coming up after we even went with them after we had our oldest, Sienna, with them.
Yeah,
and then they're, yeah, and they were like, yeah, come up, use it. We want people to use it. And it took a while, a few trips where they're like, just come use it. And so we have been going, and Quinn and I, like we said, we in our married life, like Quinn grew up in Iowa, same place his whole 18 years, and then he moved to the West.
Yeah, we all can't be from a tourist destination.
Yes. And then I moved around a little bit, but most of the time I call home for 10 years, Reno, Nevada. But there is no other place in our marriage that Quinn and I have returned back to at least once a year or multiple times a year that we've gone through a lot of phases.
Yeah,
like there was
states.
Quinn and Megan yeah. phase. There was me being pregnant phase. There was having our first, then our second.
Yeah, there was living in Nevada. There was living yeah. in California. There was living in Utah.
Yeah. And so we were not able to go last year. I thought, and not to bring it up again, because I feel like I do every time, but I had a hip surgery.
Wait, hold on a second.
We're coming up on my year anniversary this week.
You know what that's going to mean for me, guys?
New shoes.
There you go. Somehow I'm going to be beguiled.
I'll be like, these are my 1 year hip anniversary shoes.
I shall be beguiled by the Jezebel sitting across from me. The conversation will be like this. Babe, hey, I'm a year out from surgery and I'm starting to feel pretty good about stuff and I'm hitting a good stride. And, you know, I really think that like a new pair of running shoes or something that they'd be a really good for
and
me.
And Quinn
will
be like, okay, but this is the key. Ladies, listen, that if you're like, he's kind of on the fence when they arrive, just put the shoes on. Nothing else.
No, you'll never feel. I think it goes, you'll never feel as naked as you are. Yeah. When
you feel double naked.
Double naked.
When no, it's double naked being Porky Pig. Just a shirt.
Or just socks.
Or
on.
Just socks. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Anyway.
You feel more vulnerable and more naked when you're wearing just socks than
yeah,
you
Yeah, but
are
just put the shoes on. You're good to go. So anyway, yeah. So last year we did not go. So it has been 2 years since we have gone to this cabin that we have gone to literally 18 years. When we sat down and talked about it, I was like, oh my gosh, that is as long of time as you live with your parents. We've been going, we're old.
Yes. Kanye said 18 years,
18 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this last time going, we have been multiple times. And I think we've always enjoyed it, right? It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
This year felt different.
Do tell.
I feel like you would agree to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this year, maybe because we didn't go the last year, or maybe just what we've been working on just like both of us, of seeing big picture, looking at things differently, was I feel like we slowed down and really took it in. Mm. How do you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like instead of it being a total whirlwind, and also, you know, the kids are at different phases too. So it wasn't like a dad.
Yeah. And I think at other times we were just constantly like, you're chasing them around, where this time, you know, you have one reading a book, one's over here. Logan is on the deck shooting BB guns, like nonstop.
Yeah.
And so being that I was out on the deck with Logan, it was, I had this moment, and it is cheesy as all get out, but I was looking at this pine tree that's right in front of it. And we have pictures of Quinn and I on this same rocking
swing.
We have Quinn with his dad, because we brought, you know, we've had his parents come, and we've seen our kids through all these different ages with different family members. And I'm looking at this pine tree and I'm like, that pine tree is amazing. It has been there that whole time. I've never noticed it, you know, just like, and I know this is cheesy, but I was like, almost like slowing down and like, smell the roses, like take a look at what was around you. And it was one of those that I just felt the whole entire time we were there. I'm like, my heart is full. And this has always been here. We've come, but I've never had this feeling.
Yeah. And just, I think in life, we have these experiences where Megan just said, the tree's always been there, right? And I think the feeling, the emotion, the gratitude, the experience is always there. It's if we're willing to see it, if we can slow down enough to actually open up our eyes and see it. It's like when we went with babies and toddlers, it was survival. And
for sure.
It was, you know, don't wander off into the woods too far or what have you.
And I do think a lot of it is, I've talked in past episodes about really, and we'll dive in later in the episode about kind of that mental shift for me of, are you truly present? And I think sitting out there, I think in the past I would have gone out with our youngest and been like, cool, you shot it three times, I'm going to go about do what I want to do.
And shot targets.
Shot targets. Yeah. Thank you. So you're not like, what is he shooting?
Yeah, we have a strict rule about nothing ever gets shot unless it's eaten. So
yeah. Yeah. And no chipmunks, any of that. So, but I think taking the time to slow down and be like, I'm going to be out here, I'm going to chill, because this right here, most important thing. And I think by doing that, it was like almost like, this scenery that I had been in so many different facets of my life, it was always there, but I was seeing it for the first time, like almost like, you know, when your phone, when you turn like the, you know what I'm talking about.
Brightness.
You're turning it up. And that's like, I will say that's
hashtag iPhone problems.
Yeah. But that is why bringing it up is, I almost felt like that was, this trip was, the brightness was turned on. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing all these things, but I've seen them probably 25 times before.
Like, it's like we did some hikes. If anybody's ever been to Zion National Park, we always do a hike to a waterfall.
To that, we had Quinn's mom, who's 80.
Yeah.
She crushed it.
Yeah. Like a champ.
And one of my favorite parts about the hike, besides the beauty, was seeing our kids like cheering her on and just wanting, like being with her. They didn't run off. They were just like, hey, we're going to make grandma, she's going to get there with us. And his mom is in great shape, but I mean, 80, she's going on this hike that's pretty steep. And yeah, it was awesome. So back to the hike.
Justifying the E word.
Yeah. I don't know if that works. We're going to come up for something. 80.
But the point of being, so if you've ever been to Zion, this hike is the headwaters of the Virgin River, which is what carved Zion National Park. And it's not exactly
raging,
yeah. But it just goes to show with persistence over time.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of water can form a mighty big canyon.
Yeah.
I think there's a story to be learned in that, but it's even that we've done that hike multiple times, but why was it different?
I think just stopping and just saying, okay, we're not just rushing. And maybe to our credit, was other times I was like, okay, Logan's going to fall off the face of this earth. Like, you know, like.
And just to back things up, back that up, to back things up for a second is, there's a point in life where it's very hypocritical for, I think, us to say like, oh my gosh, we should have been doing this all the time.
No. Because
there's a point where you're surviving. And the fact you're even doing anything is amazing. And whether even you have kids or not, I mean, it's jobs, careers, early marriage, like figuring things out. Like there's a whole recipe, I believe, that gets you to this point in your life to where you can actually see things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So I hope you know, too, that there's no point.
We're not looking at saying, oh, it's overnight and the brightness is there, because yeah. You could have legitimate, and I don't want to say necessarily distractions, but like you could have kids, things that you're like, I can't fully focus on this 100%. I can enjoy it partially, but not fully because I have all these outside element.
So once again, it was taking things in, but looking at, like Megan said earlier, the tree was always there. So the feeling, the emotion, I think all of it was always there. I think it's a difference of seeing it differently.
Yeah, definitely.
So that brings things into another perspective. And this is what we want to dive into. We wanted to use the cabin almost as a parable type story of,
'cause we're that smart.
Yeah. Intellectual prowess.
We are so smart.
It's pure attraction.
Very. I'm going to just... should I talk the rest of it in an English accent?
I guess that would legitimize you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, well, loves. Okay, anyway. So, that was Harry Styles, just if you want to know. That's what he says.
Okay. Good times. Like, I'm going to pretend I know who that is. So,
do you want me to sing it for you?
No.
Okay.
So in life, okay. And this goes to what Megan was talking about. In life, there's so many amazing things and so many amazing moments and so many amazing places, but due to the fact of having tired eyes, we miss them. So it's almost like your contacts get fogged over. So stay with me.
I hate when that happens. It happened this week.
Yeah. And you know that point in life where you're like, my contacts have stopped
working. And I felt
like
I was driving home slightly blind. I'm like, oh yeah, I think, okay, yeah.
And
I
can do it. And you finally rub your contacts, or you take them out and you clean them, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can see again. And you see things a little bit differently. So I was, my buddy, or a guy that we buy from, Mr. Mark,
yeah,
came out, and I went mountain biking with he and his buddy Topher. And Topher had just
moved. Which is a great name.
Yeah. Short for Christopher, I believe, but that's just a guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Topher.
Topher.
I like it.
So anyway, he had just moved to Utah from Louisiana. And so for him, everything was new. And we were.
Which you had just been to Louisiana and were like, oh my gosh, these trees. Like, yeah. You were just like freaking out over how beautiful, right?
Absolutely.
And then he comes out here, you go mountain biking.
So we were at, excuse me there.
Yeah, focus.
Yeah, I was a little tired.
Yeah, let's go.
That was a yawn.
I know.
Let's go. We were at, like, when we went, it was like peak leaf season. Like the aspens were all turning, the scrub oak was all turning. So it was just it was basically a Monet painting. I mean, it was just a kaleidoscope of colors. So we're out riding, and the whole time these guys are like, oh my gosh, I cannot. We went up to Powder Mountain, which is a ski resort, and rode the Brim Trail. And the whole time these guys were like, I cannot believe how beautiful this is. Now I basically live 20 minutes from there. And so maybe 25. And it's like, I'm so used to it that I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And we sat down and kind of got talking and kind of got philosophizing about, like, how many times do we look at things with tired eyes? Meaning that we are in such a beautiful moment in nature, but because we've seen it before, it just seems like
you're like, meh. Yeah.
And you know, going back to Megan and I talking about hiking Delicate Arch with the kids when we were down at Arches, is Megan and I in our early 20s, we were down in Moab at least once a month with my band. And so we did it almost every time we went down there. We had a National Parks pass, and it was going, yeah, no, Delicate Arch, whatever.
Yeah. And thinking that it was like this flat hike.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, no.
Not the same age. So anyway, coming up over, it was almost emotional seeing, like, and almost took my breath away about how amazing it was.
Take my breath away.
But it was the pure fact of not looking at it with tired eyes. So this leads into almost like, you know, like your midlife crisis, right? I think in our midlife crisis, it's almost like the cabin that Megan was talking about. It's some place that you've gone to over and over and over and over and over, but, and that could be your life. But are you looking at it with renewed, fresh eyes like we did this trip to the cabin? Or are you looking at it with tired eyes?
And with that being said, in your life, it could be work. It could be relationship, your family. And I think a lot of times with that tired eyes, you're looking almost like, I want to say a lot of people with a midlife crisis, it's that meh. Like it's just the same thing.
Underwhelmed.
Yeah. Or that it's looking at it, if the glass is half full. Well, this is me. It's only downhill from here. I mean, how many times have we heard that of looking at it saying, I don't think there's this point where you reach the top of the hill and then it's all, I mean, all downhill. Yeah. It age obviously, but it doesn't mean your quality of life or your enjoyment of life. It's not like we look at it. And I think that you have a lot of people say when they find that balance, they're like, man, I loved my 40s and my 50s way more than I loved my 20s. And it's because I knew myself and that. And so I think with the tired eyes, it's looking at it saying, are you just kind of complacent or you're just looking at it of being like,
Let's talk about a few things that I feel like we're underwhelmed by, but should be a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start with the stars.
Yeah.
Not like the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah. Stars. Which is very underwhelming if you ever met.
Yeah. Like downtown LA is such a absolute like dumpster fire.
Yeah. But it's like if you've never been there, and if you are there, hopefully you agree, is they will film it so it looks different than what it is.
But it's pretty much a couple nice buildings and rundown strip malls.
Yeah, it's so they film it strategic, so you're like, ooh, it's glamorous. Yeah, that's Fergie.
Okay.
You're late.
So, yeah, I did quote Fergie.
The Duchess. Yeah, you did with the kids tonight. Yeah.
Yep. So, when you're going back to the stars, we all know that starting orb with the Anunnaki and the Mesopotamians back in the day, that's when the alien human hybrids formed. Okay. No. All right. So
but, you had to put your alien plug okay, in so, every episode. So I swear every episode.
So if we're looking to essentially every culture that's existed up till probably the 1900s, everybody look to the stars. So yeah, look at every ancient building, it's all in astrological alignment, right? You look at the pyramids of Giza, you look at Chichen Itza, you look at basically Sacsayhuaman, you look at all these different like ruins all over the world, South America, Asia, and they all have alignment with the stars. They all line up.
Well, and it was like before the calendars, that was how you could tell seasons. And
if there was a comet, it was the biggest thing in the world. And that's everything was determined by the stars. Now we don't even look at them, or it's like the kind of thing that ever since kind of the Industrial Revolution, unless you walk out and go, huh, that's neat, right? We're totally underwhelmed.
Yeah. And I think along the lines with stars is Quinn and I have talked about this is when we were little, and I feel like our generation was kind of the last part of this. So let's take the movie Sandlot, right? Sandlot, I feel like that encompasses summer, being a kid. And the scene that I love one of the most in the movie is the fireworks.
I thought you were going to say the Windy Pfeffercorn.
Yeah, we did go as them for Halloween.
Yeah, it was delightful.
Yeah. But anyway, is when the fireworks are going off and the kids just stop, and are staring up at the sky, and it's this magical moment. And I feel like that encompasses us being a kid. Like it was where we would go to the fireworks and you're like, oh, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And now, which is great, but we've taken our kids. It's like, you know, at the end of ACL, they had fireworks. Like they have fireworks on Christmas Eve. They have fire, you know.
Or you'll just be driving down the road and there'll be some crazy fireworks show off in the distance. Yeah, and we're like, hey, kids, look, fireworks.
Yeah, and our kids are like, meh. And it's like half the time they won't even stop and look. And Quinn and I are like, do they not understand that there's something exploding and making color in the sky? But it was almost like, it's just like, it's always there. Like I see it multiple times that it's just like that awe factor is totally taken
out. Once again, just like stars, all of a sudden tired eyes, where all of a sudden there's something that's so magical, but it's like, I'm just bored. I'm tired. It's like the internet, right? You'd think like everybody who, or an airplane, like, You're flying through the air or
let's just talk about like the map app on your phone, like Google Maps.
Oh yeah.
Right. Is like, I was telling our oldest, I'm like, back in the day, you had a road map or there was like, remember when you could go MapQuest?
Oh yeah.
Trying to read it.
I remember leaving for sales calls and I would map out one place to the next and print out the map quest. So I'd have like half a ream of paper.
Yeah. And so now the fact is all on your phone.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But these are all examples of things that are awesome that we all now look at with tired eyes, or it could even be like the view of mountain biking where you may live somewhere that you've just seen it so many times that you don't take it in. And all of a sudden it's something that somebody else sees and it draws your attention. Or it's even like with your relationship. Maybe it's with your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, where somebody's like, wow, they're really amazing at this. And you're like, oh yeah. You know, it's the thing that you start to just, you get tired eyes.
Yeah. And I think along that line is, if you're looking at things, the glass is half empty, right? You're focusing on the negative. It could be the negative at your job. It could be your negative in your relationship. And not saying you need to be able to address that, because sometimes it is toxic or it's not the right job. But if you make up your mind, right? It's like we tell our kids this all the time. If you're going to something that you've been invited to and you've decided it is the worst thing that is ever going to happen in your life, like it's going to be that way because you've decided. You're looking at it saying it's the worst, it's going to be this way. And so if you're looking at your relationship, your job, and there is always going to be negative things, always, unless you're married to Quinn Brown.
Perfect. Right? That's right.
But it's one of those that if you are always focusing on that, that is like looking at tired eyes being like, I am so sick of this job because that is all you're focusing on. Instead of going and being like, man, you know what? I really hate this aspect of my job, but I have the best coworkers. Or, you know, you look at it instead of just sitting nitpicking part of your relationship that's like, I'm so sick of these things. It's like, wow. Yeah. But like,
Quinn made twice baked spaghetti tonight.
Yeah. You know, like I said, is looking at it. And so a lot of that is with the tired eyes. It is where you're, you know, how you're looking at it.
Okay. So, you know, you were talking about El Negativo.
El Negativo. That means the negative. Yeah. Because so I speak code.
You do. You win talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were talking about the negative, but I'd like to ratchet this up even more is, I don't think tired eyes necessarily always means the negative.
Yeah.
I think sometimes tired eyes registers as indifferent, like,
or bored.
And so there's also, I feel in life to a huge degree is we choose what we want to see.
I choose you.
Yes. Okay, Ralph Wiggum. Okay.
I'm glad you caught my.
Yeah, for sure. So, but we choose what we want to see. And what I mean by that is if we're in a mental state where we're just indifferent and bored and just kind of whatever, then we're going to choose to either take in the beauty or ignore it. And a great example of this is, I was talking to our oldest and we were driving once and she goes, Dad, have you ever, she's like, one time we went over to that abandoned house. And I'm like, what abandoned house? She's like, the one right over there before you turn to like go to Livy's dance studio. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I had seen a group of trees. I had never seen the house. And then when she pointed out there was actually a house there, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I don't know. I'd probably driven past it 1,000 times. And then she brought it to my attention that there was an abandoned house. And that goes back to, you know, having tired eyes is we choose what we want to see. So if we live like a life full of appreciation, gratitude, or like even Megan said about going to the cabin, wanting to take it all in, then that's what we're going to see. Or if we're at a job and we want to sit there, and I've worked at places that that are a terrible place to work at, but people choose to see the good in it. And then like at my current employer, it's so awesome. It's such a great place to work, a great environment, and there's people who choose to make it miserable. So
yeah, or I think have you ever worked a job like when you were younger where you're like, oh my gosh, this is horrible, and then you leave and go to other job and you're like, oh, now I'm seeing it clearly that job was not as bad as I thought it was.
Now, I am going to say I knew when I was a lifeguard.
Yeah, Quinn, even when I met him at 20, when he was 23, he was like, if I could be a lifeguard.
No, it was a lifeguard. I would have to be specifically where I work.
Yeah. He was like, I figured out if I got a raise every year.
I think we got like 25 or 50 cents.
Yeah. He was like, how much I'd be making. And he's like, I feel like that would have been the best job in the world.
Because like hardly anybody ever came. We fished. We played hacky sack. Like
you got some chick to bake you cookies.
No, so
wasn't it cookie? No, it was candy.
No, it was no bake cookies.
Oh,
so I worked with several great ladies, and my freshman year of college, they sent me no bake cookies every month.
Mm. Yeah,
I don't. Why do you have such a scowl? Such nice people.
Yeah, nice people.
Yeah, it was great.
They probably were in love with you.
No.
No.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So,
but my lifeguard job was freaking awesome, yeah, by the way.
Yeah. So a lot of it is, yeah. So Quinn, how, yes. So we talked about kind of tired eyes. It's, you know, how you're looking at things. So how can you change your view? If you're in your life and you feel like kind of in that midlife crisis, or, you know, kind of bored with your life, or just kind of feeling like you're in that fog, how do you change your view?
Okay. So this is a great analogy. And Megan for years tried to convince me to wear the stretchy pants.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about shoes, like an analogy with shoes.
No, I wear shoes. Remember, I can't be a hippie. In fact, I've got my rubber Birkenstocks on right now because I don't even like to walk on the carpet barefoot.
Yeah, Quinn, like...
I have house shoes.
Okay, so you need to understand, Quinn, when I met him, he had long, curly hair, kind of just total hippie, going to Grateful Dead concerts and all of that. And I just remember, I was like, you're a hippie. He's like, well, I can't go full hippie. Cause I have soft feet, and he just cannot, like, literally.
And I can't even, like, I couldn't even wear Birkenstocks all the time back then. Cause my heels crack.
Yeah. It's one of those. So we'll call you Tenderfoot.
Tenderfoot. Tenderfoot. Exactly. Okay. So Megan talked to me forever about wearing the stretchy pants. So what I mean by the stretchy pants is road biking.
We're not talking you going to the gym where it's like,
no,
tight and yeah.
No.
Yeah.
There's no need for shadow boxing the kielbasa.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Megan talked to me forever about road biking. So I finally got on a road bike a few years ago. And what I saw, and this goes to the whole idea of slowing down, is I rode the same roads I would drive. And I drive these roads and they were boring. It was just like, meh, whatever, kind of boring, like country roads, take me home, John Denver. Yeah. So just kind of driving. Oh, there's another cow. There's a sheep. Okay. There's a mountain, blah, 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 blah. Well, when I started road biking, I was blown away at the beauty because I slowed down. I went from going like 60 miles an hour down to going like 18 to 20 and looking at it and smelling the smells and seeing the intricacies and seeing the little stream that ran through the ditch that I never noticed before, or just seeing things differently and just slowing down enough to take it all in. And it's so crazy because it's the exact same view.
Yeah.
There's no, I didn't change my view or anything.
You just slow down to be able to focus more.
Well, and you think about, let's use the analogy of the car versus the bike. I took out, like, all of a sudden you're in a car, you're isolated. So let's say your windows, doors, and radio, that's all the outside stuff that's always bombarding you, kind of taking your perspective, taking your attention away. So all of a sudden I stripped that down where I was in an open cockpit, if you will, on my bike. So there was no windows, no doors. I didn't have headphones on. And so all of a sudden I'm hearing the sounds. I'm smelling the smells. I'm feeling the...
There is a mink farm.
Yeah, I know. That's a
like, yeah. It's about 10 miles from our house.
You can smell the smell.
That's
too.
What I'm saying is I'm like, you smell the smells on that.
But,
yeah.
But the point is I was able, it was the same thing, but it was a totally different experience. And so I think the first thing that you can do to change your view is slow down so you can take the, and get rid of the distractions. So you can do the exact same thing, but take the experience in differently.
Yeah. And so this last year, a year ago, was when I had surgery. And this is my kind of slowing down. And I've talked about it in the past, is I was working full time, and it was, I feel like it was more than full time, just because it was constant, where it was early in the morning, late at night, getting calls, messages. And I loved what I was doing. But when I was forced to slow down and be at home, that was where
your surgery, that was like throwing the e-brake on.
Yeah. It was like going from my life being, you know, just go, 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 to I needed to be at home. And that was where, my whole slowing down, putting things into perspective. And we do an episode on the big picture. And for me, it was that realization of, oh my gosh, I've missed so much. And I asked myself, for what? And that's where Quinn and I started talking. And I was like, okay, obviously you have to work, and I enjoy working, but I realized the amount of hours that I was working, I didn't necessarily need to, I need to work somewhat, but I didn't need to work that amount, where I was like, I can pull back. We won't make as much, but we are covered. So what is this for? That are, you know, I'm missing this with our kids. And it was when I was here, and you can, and Quinn can attest to this, I was home, but I was not home. I was on my phone, like answering questions, getting back to people. I was not here. I was not present in my mind.
And so would you say, without being present, you were looking at things with tired eyes?
Yes. And I looked at it. I felt like everything with our kids, I was going through the motions. I was going through the motions in our marriage because I was doing the bare minimum. I was doing it because I was surviving. And for me, that was where it was that for what? And I went through, you know, kind of stepping back. I'm still working part-time, doing what I love to do. But I vowed at that moment, and I've talked about this in a lot of episodes, that I was like, okay, I am stepping down, but for what? And that for what for me was, I'm going to take that energy that I've just been given back, and what am I going to do with it?
Look at things differently.
Look at them differently. And part of that was, I'm going to put it into my kids, my marriage, and I'm going to find that balance for me. Everybody's different, but that's like with our kids. If they're like, I want to, you know, hey mom, can we go skateboard? I'm like, okay, I can't today, but let's find a day. We find it, we make it work. And I put that energy, and I feel like my relationship with my kids, my relationship with Quinn, is so much stronger because I am not, you know, looking at tired eyes, the bare minimum. I am looking at it of slowing down. And my perspective is, this is my world.
So talking about perspective, this goes back to Brother Brosef and I on the elk hunt. Is we did a lot of walking, a lot of horse riding, a lot of four wheeling. So, but what I find so interesting is, you can see things from one angle, and not like, let's say you're looking for animals, or like say with elk, you're looking for a herd, is you can be on one point and you can look down and not see anything, but you're looking in the same valley, right? But if you rotate, and let's just say you walk up to the next point, which just gives you a slightly different angle, that might be, you might come across the whole herd. And that happened multiple times, unfortunately, like I said, spikes, not big racks. So
it's all about the big racks.
Yeah. So, So anyway, but the point being is sometimes in life you just need to change your perspective. Like, and that's where Megan just said she stepped down from her job, is she did that and she changed her perspective. I think for myself, you know, I've talked a lot about kind of my midlife crisis experience through these 40 whatever episodes we've done so far, is all of a sudden realizing like, oh my gosh, I'm just going through the motions of everything. I need to change my perspective. I need to learn. I need to become better. I need to become more involved. And that was redefining. So if you're sitting there saying, man, I do have tired eyes, like, what do I do? So we talked about slowing down, but then next, look at changing your perspective. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you need to make this.
You can't necessarily always put on the e-brake.
Yeah.
And to me, it was, and we'll go in kind of in further episodes about how this last year mentally was one of the hardest years, but I would not change anything because I was able, not everybody's able to put on the, you know, that brake, that e-brake and go, okay, who am I? I'm going to put everything into perspective and how do I want to move forward?
Yeah. Like for example, I couldn't stop.
You couldn't. And like I said, is not everyone has that luxury.
But it gave
I wouldn't say luxury because, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yes, I lavish you.
I lavish you with hip surgery.
Candies wrapped in paper. Can you provide candies wrapped in paper?
Yeah, it was that 50 ways.
No, a million ways to die in the West.
Yeah. I was like 50.
Great Neil Patrick Harris quote there. But the point that I'm saying is, I was able to, through just looking at things differently, getting rid of tired eyes, I was able to change my perspective. And that was a bit of a journey, but I was able to get into it.
And with that, you get out what you put in. So
for sure.
If that is your job, if it's your marriage, if it's relationship with your neighbors, your children, whatever it is you play a factor in that.
Yeah. It's
of like, hey, I'm going to sit down and I am going to enjoy, you know, reading this book on this bench. Like you are in charge of being able to shave out that time and make it happen and finding the time to find that perspective. It might be little glimpses, but you're in the driver's seat.
Yeah. And it takes time. It's like, for example, I know we talked about in the first episode about, like, you know, when you're coming across a midlife crisis, becoming the best you possible. And that's the best mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, humanly, you know, that you can. And I know when I was going through that, I wanted to learn mentally. And so I made a goal that, like, I stopped listening to talk radio. I shut off the news. I did all of that. And I said, the only content I'm going to ingest besides like brainless content, like watching movies or whatever, is I want to learn. And it was fantastic, but it took me getting after it. And I will say too, I decided that's when I was like, I'm going to go to the gym every single day or 6 days a week. And it took 6 months to be like, okay, I'm noticing a big difference, but it's not overnight, but just slowing down and changing your perspective and getting after it, that's a huge shift.
And with that is your attitude of, you know, moving forward saying, okay, my perspective, like to shift your perspective, it has to start with your attitude.
Yeah, you can't sit there and say, my life sucks, so I'm going to shift my perspective so it sucks more.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say you're not going to have your days where you're like, this freaking sucks.
Yeah, it's like Megan just talked about, like, you know, we've been doing this podcast through this whole last year, and it's also been one of the most challenging.
Yeah, it's been, yeah.
Challenging years of you getting back up on your feet mentally too.
So. Yeah, and I will say, kind of looking, reminiscing on this last year, is this podcast, yes, we're hoping that we help people that are out there, but for me, and I've talked in past episodes, there's been times where I've had to like almost like stop and be like, am I doing what I'm saying? And I have had to readjust.
Well,
and I have learned so much about myself through this process.
There's also been times we've been a little snippy with each other.
Oh yeah.
And there's been like, well, are you taking your own advice that you say on the
Yeah,
podcast?
No, we'll use it. I'll be like, you said this in episode 10 and I don't feel like you're doing it. But the last thing I will say about how to change your view is working on your state of mind. So that kind of, we've talked about,
kind of weaves in with attitude,
but
a little bit deeper.
Now, like I talked about this last year, was mentally challenging. And so I kind of want to just share a little story and then hopefully you can see how this ties in. So with that was when I went in to have hip surgery, just people constantly, you know, it's like everyone does. They would come up and say, oh, you're having surgery. Let me know if you need anything. And Quinn can attest to this, but I don't deal well with a lot of downtime. I enjoy having downtime, but it's when it's a pause, not when it's like you have ample amount of it. And so I just told constantly, I probably told about 30, 40 people. I'm like, even if I didn't even know them that well, I'm like, you know what I need? I said, I need you to stop by my house. I can't walk. I want you to come over, visit for 15 minutes. Or I said, can you please come by, take me for a drive or take me to go get a soda or something. I said, that's what I need. And I don't tell this story to, you know, because there are listeners that, you know, live in our area. I'm not calling anyone out. I'm using this as my own personal growth. Was I will tell you, there were very few, if hardly any, when they came and knocked on the door. And this was something was asked. So for me at first, I was bummed. I was looking at it saying,
or even a little
hurt
or disenfranchised.
Yeah. Just kind of like, wow, I asked and all of this. And then, you know, I had time. And like I said, is I've been really working this last year on my mental health, my mental state of mind. And I realized I was like, well, I can't be hurt. I can't be upset because how many times have I done that to other people? Looking at
perspective.
Saying, yeah. And my perspective is I always thought, oh, someone else does it, or I'm busy. I'm this. Like, I had my list of excuses of why I didn't. And I realized I'm like, I can't be upset because what am I doing? And so it was like this total mind shift for me to look at it through different eyes and say, okay, how am I personally going to change this narrative? Because I have been that person that I guarantee someone said what they needed or needed something and I ignored it or I, you know, kind of brushed it off. And so I will say it's not perfect, but I have definitely, it has shifted and my focus has been totally different in this year since that.
So you're saying that you change your perspective, and because you change your perspective, you no longer have tired eyes in that regard.
Yeah, it's definitely, I look at it and I'm like, man, it is really just, I'm going to look for opportunities. And I'm not saying that I'm, like I said, perfect. I miss opportunities right and left where I'm like, oh man, I should have been on that. But I definitely looked at it of saying, hey, you know, like I've been that person where, you know, I kind of had tired eyes. Everyone kind of has them where they're not looking. And how am I going to change it where I am not going to be looking at those around me with tired eyes?
Well, and I think sometimes one of the best cures as far as like being a good human being is I think sometimes our eyes get tired looking at ourselves.
For sure.
Meaning like, I'm so awesome, right?
Yeah. That's so cool.
I bust my son. He'll be looking at his mirror. He'll be looking in the mirror, like combing his hair. You could tell he's like, yeah.
Well, I was going to say our oldest, when she was probably, how old with the frog shirt? Four. Yeah. She had this shirt that I don't even know where it came from, but it had this like cartoon frog.
And every time she put it on.
It was like, she was in front, we caught her in front of the mirror, just being like, don't, don't, don't. Yeah, and it was like, we even tease her to this day. We're like, is that your frog shirt? Because it's like so iconic of, can't look away.
And then our middle had this dress that every time she wore, she just would just stare at herself.
Yeah, like, she was like, uh-huh,
I got it going on. So my point that I'm trying to make on that is, you know, and Megan telling her story is sometimes, you know, we fatigue looking at ourselves, where really the answer of like getting the eye boogers out, you know, the I can't see.
Yeah.
Or
Megan, is this like no, when this you is, gave the kid in chili pink eye?
No, this. So soy ciego. I'm blind, soy
Quinn,
ciego.
Quinn got, he was living with his family, got pink eye, gave it to this poor little kid.
This, like,
it
came this in. This 4-year old came running out in the morning with his eyes glued shut.
It said he was blind.
And he was like, soy ciego, which means I'm blind, I'm blind.
So yeah.
I forgot about that. Good.
Yeah,
memory.
Thank you.
But I think sometimes when we're looking to change our perspective, or we're looking to just overall, and it doesn't even have to be helping other people, but sometimes our eyes get way too tired staring at ourselves. So look outside. Look outside at nature. Look outside at your spouse. Look outside at how you can serve and help other people. And look outside at, you know, your kids or your job, how you could be better. But stop looking at yourself.
Yeah.
So everybody, we are going to wrap this up.
Wrap it up.
I do believe there is an episode of Scooby-Doo that does need to be consumed.
It does. We are on
with the Chitlins.
We are on this mission. We watch all the Halloween and stuff right before Halloween with our kids. And Scooby-Doo is a year-long thing.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo is year-long. But
we are diehard Scooby-Doo fans in our family.
But can I just do a public service announcement?
Is this about Velma's outfit?
No.
Oh, okay.
This has nothing to do with Velma's outfit.
Scooby-Doo.
Okay. So anyway, I'm more of a Daphne kind of guy.
Everybody is. Everybody is. We have tried to be Scooby-Doo as a family because we are like level 10 fans of Scooby-Doo. Nobody. We fight over Daphne, or not Daphne, or who's going to be Velma, and nobody will be Velma. Nobody. And so we've never done it. And then our middle was going to go with her friends as Scooby-Doo. Nobody would be Velma. And so it scratched it. And I think it's just, yeah.
I think Velma needs a reboot in the next series.
Reboot. And then it's like kind of the know-it-all, the kid that you're like, I want to punch because you know everything, you know. Anyway, go on.
Okay. So we've been watching Halloween movies, and there is one Halloween movie that is brilliant, genius, and does not get its due.
And so many people in the F-Word Nation, I do not know how you missed this one.
But if you have not watched The Burbs with Tom Hanks, stop what you're doing. I don't care if you're driving.
Stop what you're doing, because I'm
about to care if you're working. I don't care if there's something on the stove. Stop and watch The Burbs.
It is, and it's one I watched as a kid, but as an adult, you have even more appreciation because he's like taking time off work and then like scoping out his neighbor. It is so good, and it's one of our family favorites. But I've asked so many people, and they're like, I've never even heard of it.
I just don't know how it got passed up as, like, you know, it's like everybody watches Die Hard around Christmas. You know, The Burbs, I do not know how it got passed up as a Halloween movie.
I mean, so good.
Seriously, and I want to kill everyone. Satan is good. Satan is my pal. You're chanting, Ray.
Yeah.
You're chanting.
And it has Corey Feldman?
Feldman in it, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what more?
Yeah, it's
could you want?
It's absolutely amazing. Well, everybody, we are going to dial this in, wipe the eye boogers out, change your perspective, and get rid of those tired eyes. Take it all in and enjoy everything life has to offer.
Drink it in, because it always goes down smooth.
You forgot to say it.
Stay classy.